since we pre-recorded last week's episode before the Los Alamos pre-Thanksgiving, I'd like to recap that a little bit before diving into the message.
I'll tell you about my guy at Los Alamos. He was hilarious.
Coffee guy.
He just goes, the coffee guy. He goes, got any coffee? And I'm all this, and we forgot to bring a coffee pot. And then so Donna ran to go get some coffee, came back, and he goes, two sugars and two creams. So I give him the coffee, two sugars, two creams. And he's like, thanks. Can you get me a cigarette? I'm like, dude, I don't know. I don't know anybody here probably has cigarettes on them. I'm really sorry.
No smoking indoors.
But it was so funny. It's like, wow, they ran to the store and got me this coffee. Maybe they'll run to the store and get me a pack of smokes.
No, how far can I take this?
Exactly.
No, there are a lot of really nice people there. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I thought turnout was great. I thought everyone interacted. You could tell the community is used to things like that. Like, because they showed up bringing, you know, I saw chips coming in. I saw, you know, all sorts of...
all kinds of drinks.
Which we had said, bring something. But yeah, it was... desserts. Felt very natural all night. It was really good.
Yeah.
It was really, really encouraging to see. Really excited. And yeah, they reached out and asked us to come to their Christmas party. And so I think we're going to stop by. So I just want to thank Element for engaging. And I thought that was really neat afternoon.
And I think that there's a... an understanding that's coming about more of maybe more what hospitality entails.
Well, it's been neat giving people tangible next steps. I think obviously we've talked about the gospel motivation for it, but sometimes people just need ideas. Like, here's what it looks like. And it's neat to see people show up.
So what's next?
Yeah. What is next?
Do we continue this for part of next year of, you know, pushing towards this, or do we want to now try and take that and move it into something for next year that moves beyond just hospitality?
Little both. And then Michelle and I have been talking about asking one of our GCs to kind of adopt that as kind of a goal, focus, or to spend time down there and engage with people. Mm-hmm. And if you're interested in that, listening, let me know.
What does that mean to you?
It could look like a lot of different things. Yeah. It depends on the GC too. Maybe what's most natural and sustainable for them.
You could probably saddle up with the men's club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if a member would, could join the board of that. Mm-hmm. Eventually, this is like a long-term thing, right? This isn't just for a few weeks or something, but yeah, I mean, I think it seems like the men's club is a natural hub for relationship building. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. So I think if you look at Los Alamos, you have a lot of different people, right? In any community, you have the LA takeover of the main drag.
Yeah.
And then you have kind of the outskirts of people who are this community, been there for years. It seems like, I don't know if they're hostile toward, that's not the right word, but there's definitely.
It's just reluctant, resistant.
It seems like, well, this is our little town.
We want to keep it quiet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
it's hidden. Let's keep it hidden.
Yeah.
We don't want to become like Santa Maria.
Right. So I don't know if going down being just on the main drag all the time is the spot. I don't think we need to have all the answers today, but it'd be cool if church-wide we're praying for Los Alamos and see where God leads. So we are week two of the carols already. We are talking about We Three Kings and Do You Hear What I Hear? And
what do you hear?
I don't know. I hear Aaron. Aaron's coming via Skype.
The big idea in this week's message is in the middle of We Three Kings, there's this line and it says, King forever, ceasing never. And that's really kind of the focus of where I'm going. What, you know, Jesus is the King who reigns forever. He will never cease. And when Jesus, you know, first comes onto the scene, you have Herod, who is ruling as king and wants to keep his privileged position. And Matthew in chapter 2 kind of works this thing where it starts with Herod. You have a coronation, essentially, of Jesus being the king. And then the next thing is, after that, Herod dies. And so you have Jesus as our king that never ceases versus everything that we strive for, that we put in the place of who Christ is, that tends to just go away. One of the questions that the song, the carol brings about is, what gifts do we bring to Christ? Not that there's anything obviously we can give for our salvation, but Do we give all that we are in service to all that he is? Do we, you know, love and serve in such a way that we would lay down the kingship over our own lives to this eternal king? And that's where I think that that's where we're really going to go with this whole idea is Jesus, a king forever that never ceases. Do you hear what I hear? A child, let us bring him silver and gold, like bring him our most precious things and lay those down before him.
Very, very good, simple understanding of that. That's really neat.
When I talk about ceasing never, I move into this place where you just see there's like 10 different verses where Matthew's just like the child, take the child with the child. And over it kind of points to this child that has come. He will save his people from their sins. And children in that day and age were not highly regarded because right. Kids really meant nothing. And that's why when Jesus is welcoming those children, it's a whole different view of what kids were. Our view today where, you know, a shooting happens in a school or something like that, and the reason we are so bothered by it really comes from the legacy that Christ left us and how he viewed children because it totally changed people's view of children. Mm-hmm. And Christians started orphanages, you know, essentially taking in the children that nobody else wanted, that they would leave to die of exposure. So there's just this whole different view when it came to Christianity and Jesus of children and their worth and value.
And then in our sin, we take it and put the children up on the throne and take the king down.
Exactly, right.
In our modern culture, that's very prevalent, right?
Yeah.
You know, thinking about all that, thinking about the things that we strive for that do cease. And I think the commercialization of Christmas really embodies how we strive to bring happiness and joy and all the things that will make our life more comfortable and better. And it all ceases because in about, you know, January 3rd, we're already on Amazon looking for the next fix. Herod dies. Jesus, you know, reigns forever. I mean, that's a pretty cool layout of and reminder going into this season.
A lot of people don't really see how Matthew kind of structures chapter 2 because he'll call, you know, Herod the king. And then as soon as the wise men come and they give their gifts to Jesus, essentially that's like a coronation because that's what people in the Middle East would do when they acknowledged a king. And so they lay these gifts there. And as soon as that happens, Matthew no longer calls Herod the king. Mm. And so there's this subtle shift that takes place in the narrative. The next time he talks about him, he's Herod the dead because Herod dies.
Oh, I was just thinking about the idea of Jesus as king and how his people wasn't what they expected and how that's so very true of his people today. Mm. He's not the king we want. He doesn't act the way we want or I want, you know, it's like, I don't like the turmoil. I don't like the conflict. I don't like, you know, I want it to be nice and finished and wrapped up. And that's not the way he came. He came to change things, but not in a snap of a finger or a switch of a light.
In the text, you really see that whole dichotomy because the wise men show up and they say, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? Well, that was Herod's title from Rome, right? Mm-hmm. That's me. What are you talking about? I'm the king. And really when we trust Christ, we're no longer the king of our life. Christ is that king. And maybe sometimes maybe a question even talking to our GCs about is, what would that feel like if someone came up to you and said, you know, where is he who's been born king of your life? Mm-hmm. Like, what? I shall have to murder him.
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. So what would you hope groups kind of walk away from this message and their discussion times this week with?
I'd hope people could maybe explore with some transparency what the kings are that we experience in our day-to-day lives. And I think thinking about RGC specifically, and just we have some diversity, but a lot of us are like families of young kids. It's interesting talking to friends like in our GC. For a lot of them, they don't particularly like this season. And it's not that the incarnation isn't something to be celebrated, but just the season, kind of like you were talking about, the commercialization, the rush of it all, I think it can feel really burdensome, really stressful. And so for me reading this message, I found it really encouraging, actually, because it was like, you know what, even in the midst of the stress, even in the shortcomings of not checking off all the Christmas season milestones, like Jesus is Lord over it all. And so I think there are a lot of directions we could go in challenging the everyday kings, you know, lowercase k kings that we live under, but also finding encouragement in the sense that Jesus is king no matter what. Nothing can dethrone him.
Christmas or the season brings up a lot of social kings. Like, I need to go to every party. I need to go to every event that's going on.
Right.
And I implode because of that, you know, instead of learning how to rest or learning how to say no or saying yes to the things that are important.
Right. You know? And I feel like as a parent, like John and I were just talking about this, it's so hard trying to raise your kids counterculturally, you know, especially appreciate the generosity of grandparents, but when they're like heaping presents on our kids, as we're trying to talk about how that's not the focus, you know, it can really feel like a battle sometimes to try and focus on the core of what's really important during this season.
We slowly and subtly take these little things in our lives, and it's not that they start out as king, but they slowly kind of move into that place the more focus and attention that we give it, and we slowly just kind of push Christ out, and these things find their way in. And I think we constantly have to battle against that. When you have the conversation, you know, what's king in your life? Oh, it's obviously Jesus. It's much more subtle, though. The it's not like we go many times go out looking to put something in the place of Christ right away. It's that it slowly moves itself into that position,
yeah,
where that becomes the center. So, you know, maybe part of the conversation then could be, what thing is maybe not the king yet, but it started to make its way there? Like, you know, what things are kind of on your horizon you have to look out for that are kind of moving itself in that direction in your heart?
Yeah.
I think the second question, the application, it says, how do you respond when following Jesus threatens your comfort or control? I think that circling that question of like,
ooh, yeah,
hey, if people are having trouble identifying things, then I think changing it to, well, what if this was taken away? Or what if that was taken away? And for me, when things are challenged, I have a sadness because I want something or I desire something or I love something more than I love Jesus. And when that's out of balance and I need to correct it, there's kind of a grief process for me of there's nothing wrong with that. It's fine for me. And it's you can start seeing it in my response to losing it. Where my idol or my kings or my idols are really have a grasp on my heart.
I don't know if it's age or, but the things that, it's not so much the things that are the idol or the things that are the kings, it's the things that prop up me as king and what gives me, how it makes me feel like I'm in control or what makes me feel good about being in charge and so the stuff is just props or whatever it might be. It's, and so I have to ask myself, well, or maybe for GCs, how do we dethrone ourselves? You know? What practice, what ways can you, once you identify, you know, where you're wanting to rule and be in charge and the things that make you feel good about being in charge, well, how do we dethrone ourselves? How do we come off? How do we step down? And, you know, it's like, for me, it's like I need to focus on Jesus, the King, and what's been revealed of his goodness, his patience, his zeal to redeem and his power and wisdom. And when I begin to focus on him, it's like, oh yeah, he's the better king, you know, and I can back away from feeling either insecure or whatever that makes me want to be in charge. And so I need to figure out how to exalt him, worship him, remember how he's been revealed and focus on him. And then his place of lordship and kingship is much easier to acknowledge and then step down. Bow down.
I think going off what you just said, Mike, the kingship is a great way to enter, continue to enter the Christmas season.
Yeah. So when I refocus, it's like it recenters my life and regenerated. I'm converted again. You know, who's in charge? You know, And that is where we find our rest and our hope and our peace. You know, when I'm on the throne, it's like, this is a lot of anxiety. I got to carry this mess. But in focusing on who really the king is and what he's like, it's like, it reconverts my heart.
I'd hope we'd have clarity to see this, the unhealthy fruit that comes from the times we do step onto the throne temporarily. Mm. It never ends well.
It always ceases.
Yes. That's a good thing. Yeah.